You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
The final whistle is all over. Jim Gavin, Jason Sherlock embrace. Dublin are the history makers.
Today, Sean Kavanagh, who is a brilliant footballer. But I tell you what, you can forget about Sean Kavanagh as far as he's a man.
O'Sullivan, oh, that was absolutely brilliant. What about that for skill from Darren O'Sullivan?
Give him a goal. It's high. It's over. Will he ever get a more vital one than that?
I know Joe done a personal assassination of him this morning.
It was not an assassination of him.
We have to look at the context. Shut him, will you?
The transition talk, I think Joe Bradley told us the production line was finished in Kerry. Well, Joe Bradley, what do you think of that?
Hi there, you're very welcome along to GAA Hour with me, Darren O'Sullivan. I managed to survive week one, I'm back for week two. I'm delighted to be joined today by two All-Ireland winners, former Dublin footballer Dennis Bastic and former Donegal footballer Em McGee, who managed to survive week one as well. Welcome to the show, boys.
Cheers, Darren.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Eamon. You're back for more punishment.
Yeah, lasted longer in the show than in Hell Week, I think it lasted.
It's all positives here.
Yeah.
But I suppose, look, we'll start straight away with Division 1. It's been a massive league so far. Kerry, obviously, guaranteed top spot at the moment. You have Armagh and Mayo playing out for maybe the final spot as well, and you have five teams who could get relegated. So I suppose, look, seeing as we have a dub and we have a Donegal man, we're going to start in Croke Park. And I think you tipped Donegal to win that game, but I'm going to start with Dennis because the Dubs are back.
They're back. I wouldn't say back to their best, but definitely some green shoots, definitely signs of improvements. I think that's what you're looking for. Bit maybe all over the place initially for the first few games, but nice to see improvements, scores all around the pitch, momentum, all that really good stuff that looking out for, and down to the last game, which we thought it would be, and it's up to them, it's in their hands now.
Yeah, look, watching on from, like, they're more familiar look to them now at the moment. I suppose people always forget about the first few games once you're winning the last few and you're going into the championship with a bit of form. And I suppose from a Donegal point of view, that form is still a bit up and down. There was positive signs last year with McBrearty, but I suppose take out the maybe fortuitous goal and there was probably a bigger defeat on the cards.
Yeah, listen, there was positives and there has been positives throughout the league for Donegal, and we have to remember how many injuries there are in the squad. Jamie Brennan's not himself. He still has a bit to go in terms of that match pace of things. Michael Langan, who arguably is one of their second to Murphy, most important players. You know, Hugh McFadden's getting more game time into him, so he's an important cog in the Donegal. And, you know, there's just, once Declan has everybody going, you know, and going well, I think we'll still be in that top five, definitely top six bracket, but it's just about getting everybody on field and, you know, getting that flow. And to be going to O'Donnell Park, which is a complete graveyard for Donegal teams down through that's in Letterkenny, down through the years, you know, depending on points, it's just not a nice place to be.
Yeah, and I suppose going back to the Dubs, I suppose the last couple of games, even the games where they weren't going well, Dean Rock, Brian Fenton, Kieran Kilkenny, they were the fellas who were standing up, and obviously Dennis, you'd know them well, like, and they've developed into huge leaders. Like, I'm just wondering what they're actually like around the dressing room, because you see them on the pitch and they were the ones carrying the can even when things weren't going right. And again, the last year you had McCarthy back as well. And obviously from the outside in, you're like, I'd love to know what the boys, I'd love to be a fly in the wall, kind of picking up a few secrets.
No, look, I think your big players, you're looking for that leadership piece. And I think that's what differentiates the really good players from the excellent players. So when things are up against you, you're looking for them to kind of step up and do something different or drag the team. And it was on their heads for a long time there, just maybe on their own. So with a few more bodies, you see Scully performing well yesterday, Howard as well. So I think it takes a bit of an ease or the edge off what they have to do. But no, look, I think when you've got players and you know what they're doing and they're making the right decisions, and it's so much more easier for the team, you know, when you're standing side by side and you know he's going to do the right thing with the ball at the right time, that makes a huge difference for the team. And that's what those guys really do. Very few turnovers, very few giving away the balls, and they seem to make the right decisions at the right times.
Yeah, I suppose watching it the last day, it was a lot more of a Dublin look to it, and like that, the understanding was there between the players, which obviously makes the decision making easier. And I suppose a player that was back the weekend, James McCarthy, probably will go down as arguably for a lot of people the greatest player to ever play the game, which is big praise from a Kerry man, I suppose. And himself and Michael Murphy had some battle. I know, Eamon, you hate the question of should Michael Murphy be stuck on top of the square. But he got a great goal in there. But for a long part of that, he was sitting there and they weren't looking up at him. Yeah, no, they were sharp.
It's not
players.
That I hate the question. Like, it's a valid question, but I'm just sick of the debate. Mm. And, you know, Michael is probably one of the great full forwards when he gets an opportunity to play. But he's so good that the players that are there just... There's a void left when Michael goes inside. And I just don't think there's enough players stepping up to fill that. And, you know, we have to remember... Natural kick passers in terms of the Donegal aspect of the football and how they play the game, maybe they don't have the best natural foot passers to get that type of ball in. Even the one Ryan put in on Sunday there, it was going towards the keeper. I still think the keeper should have had that, but Michael done so well to maybe palm it into the goals. And, you know, it's just, we all talk about Michael leaving him inside, but if we're not getting the right type of ball, and, you know, if people out the field aren't filling that void that he leaves, then we can't afford to leave him in there.
Yeah, I suppose it's one of the arguments that's been around for a while. If you only had two Michael Murphys, because like you said, he is so influential out the field as well, just his influence on everyone else around the place. And sometimes you wish Michael Murphy was outside kicking it into Michael Murphy.
Exactly, and when Michael's out, he's looking for the ball, he looks to kick it in, and he did that in the first maybe 10, 15 minutes where he spotted Jamie, he spotted Paddy, and he's looking to kick. And you always notice that is when you boys come out the field, that yous are mad because yous know that how to kick it in and you know what type of ball goes in. And Michael's just always playing with the head up, and like, and not a lot of players would do that all the time, play with the head up and look to put it in there.
Yeah, and like, I suppose we found out over league as well, the ball always moves faster than the running player. And on that kicking note, I'm going to go to Kerry and Armagh. It was an interesting game. I actually thought Kerry were very sloppy in the first half, but I think the one thing Jack has brought to them, obviously they're gone back to kicking, but their defensive play for me has been a huge positive. Tyke Morley playing a centre back has been sweeping really well, and there was a funny tweet by Justin McNulty. He was saying how Pat's plan now has changed Puke football down to tracking back and hard work and work great. But I suppose this Puke football thing has gone, it must be 20 years ago he said that, so yeah. I don't think
was that in 2011, Dennis?
No,
famous game.
So, it was a big game, a big win for Kerry, I think. But I thought Armagh were a small bit off the boil. They've been my favourite team to watch so far this year. They were hard hitting to the last day, but I think if Kerry had their shooting boots on, it could have been a different game.
Kerry looked comfortable. Like, I know there was a goal chance there at the end for Armagh, which could have, you know, brought them back into it. But I think overall they look strong. They look stronger on the day. They look more composed. And yeah, back to that work rate piece. It's what you love to see on your team, is like three or four fellas going around. The Armagh guy with no chance of doing anything with the ball. So, and they're big lifts for the team as well. You know, a big turnover gets big boosts, and it just drives your team on.
Yeah, something we haven't seen from Kerry either. Geez, for a number of years, it's been the age-old argument with Kerry, I suppose, that they don't defend well, they don't track the runners. But even the first half, the last year, you could see, it was very visible on TV that Kerry had two players sitting either side of the D. So if Armagh did come out, they were looking for that kick. There was no kick on, which obviously gave the Kerry players a chance to get back. Thought Stephen O'Brien and Adrian Spillane worked very hard again yesterday. And that's an area that Jack has obviously prioritised. And obviously Paddy Talley's got in there and he's changed a few things. But no, I think it's been positive for Kerry, but at the same time, very positive for Armagh. So they'll be going into the last game. For me, we've mentioned it last week in the show, how the league title, it's a big medal. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at, from an Armagh point of view, the chance to get to a league final, another game before they play the Donegal Championship.
Crow Park.
Yeah, you can't play enough games in Crow Park, and that's why you can't understand why more teams don't put emphasis into league. Getting to a league final, which is a big final in Crow Park, and you can't beat the experience of winning in Crow Park. So it'll be interesting now going forward.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to get to Crow Park and, you know, put in performance for Armagh, you know, if I'm in the Armagh camp, I'm McGeaney, I'm thinking, fine tune the machine more, play against the better players, because you'll whatever you do in the training field, you'll never beat the game game day and the decisions you make and what you learn, and, you know, that's going to take the team on. And you know, you talk about a good league, the fact that the season's shorter now, it's so vital to have that momentum.
Oh, it is, yeah. And like we mentioned it last week as well, Division 1 is cutthroat, and even going back to, especially when we would have started, it's a different competition in the league then to what it is now. Like, there's no such thing as a team come back. We'd say they're not up to match speed, but they're all fit. They're all, none of them are carrying a few extra pounds.
I used to laugh in the league, you know, you'd always get these rookies flying and leading the laps, and, you know, first league game or two, they were getting out in front, and, you know, they were winning ball. And then come April, May time, when the challenge games, when everybody got to that level, you know, they were gone. And you used to think, you don't have that opportunity now. You have to hit the ground running.
And that's it. I think, like, the days of starting the league off sluggish, I don't think you can do it anymore. Do you know, you have to be up to the pace. It is so heavy metal now. It's game on game. And, like, there's no time for coming back unfit and trying to get up to speed. And I suppose the last day, I was hoping Kerry would give David Clifford a weekend off. And part of me, obviously, delighted he didn't get it because he came on and he tore it up in the second half. But I was delighted then for the big crowd that were in Armagh as well the last day. Mm-hmm. It was a full house, and the crowd that went to him after. Obviously, I've seen a few tweets and people so happy that their kids got onto the pitch. That's what you want to see. And in fairness to him, like, the goal wasn't great. It wasn't a great finish, but
celebration wasn't great either.
He needs a bit of work, but I think Donaghy's been telling him to do it, supposedly. Yeah. So look, he proved to be the difference again, and he just looks.
Is there concern over liability on him?
I think
as a team
there has to be. Like, I suppose, look, Shawnee wasn't playing either last year, but Jack Savage came in and played in the 40, and I think he had 5 points, 3 from play, which was good going. But the disappointing for me, I think you had Killian Spillane and Tony Brosnan. Tony, who'd been very good the two games prior, they had a great opportunity, like, because there's one, for me, there's only one spot up for grabs at the moment on that forward line, and it's either going to be Killian, Tony, or Paul Gainey. And Killian and Tony got a chance to start, and they just didn't take it yesterday. Whatever was in it, maybe they're just off colour. So Kerry are still very reliant on them. I think they have enough quality if he's not there, but they still, like, he came on the last, he won 2, and that was the difference in the end, like, because Kerry were wasteful up to then.
Yeah, and, you know, Clifford doesn't get injured. They beat Tyrone last year, and have Kerry moved on from that? That's what, you know, you'd wonder. And you're going out to prepare for Kerry, you just think, we stop Clifford, we go great a long chance. Way to stop him this.
Well, that's the thing, and I think the one thing I've noticed during the league, and Paddy's been good, but teams have left him off, whereas last year Tyrone put Conor Myler on him and it nullified him. And in fairness to Paddy, first instinct is head up and look for the brother.
Yeah.
So you nullify that, which Tyrone did last year, which I think the teams will do in Championship 2, because they will sacrifice someone.
The difference between, like, that was a great Kerry team you played in, you stopped the Gooch, you didn't stop that Kerry team. You know, there are plenty other lads to step up, and I just don't see that at this Kerry team now. I still think they probably will win the All-Ireland, but if someone comes up with some kind of master plan to stop Clifford, then
two bodies, I think you could even go as far as sacrifice two.
I think it's the way, probably the way to go in terms of, look, I hate building him up, and I, like, on this stage at the moment, you're there going, Kerry do look the most likely. But I do think a lot of teams that know they'll be playing Kerry later on the line will have a plan in place for him. And then it is a test of character. And I suppose, unfortunately, a lot of these boys haven't shown that they have the character. Now, hopefully, from a Kerry point of view, they do show that they have this year. But I think Tyrone put the blueprint there for teams last year. And we'll go straight on to them. Then they had a great win against Mayo. In terms of the performance, for me, I wasn't gone on it personally. What do you reckon, Eamon?
Tyrone, they're hard to even understand now, because I just didn't give them a hope at all last year, and they go and won the All-Ireland. I just thought it was year one of their, you know, the way they were going to start, the new way they were going to play. And I think, you know, that result in Kerry, they learned an awful lot down there. And the reality is, if Clifford didn't get injured, they don't win that game. You know, he had to come off with cramp. I still think Kerry would have got over the line. And again, I don't think any of us are convinced in Tyrone, but the fact is that they save the best for the Championship, and they have that belief and they have that arrogance that all the top teams have or top teams need, and, you know, they'll fancy themselves coming into the summer.
Yeah, like that, they had a great start. I think they had 5 points after 13 minutes, and Mayo just didn't look to themselves. And in the second half, you know, I was expecting more from Mayo, but they just looked devoid of ideas up front, which is similar to Kerry with defence. It's an age-old complaint with Mayo that the forwards was an experimental team, but it was disappointing for Mayo in the second half.
Yeah, you would have think there would be much more drive to go on and win that game to try and get to the final. Kind of the personnel changes, but from Tyrone's point of view, to go take a really bad, what I would call a bad defeat the week before, to go, I'd say the week in training, whatever went on, or discussions, like, there would have been a lot of looking at each other and saying, is this what we're about? Then we're not too far away from Championship. And they go out and put a good performance in and win comfortable enough, I would say, you know, against Mayo. So,
yeah, that was the thing. Even though Mayo had a good bit of ball, they never seemed to be, they created nothing. They had a couple of good long range scores, quite a few bad misses and bad options taken. But from a Tyrone point of view, like, I'll go back to the first 10 or 15 minutes, they looked like the old Tyrone. I don't know if they run out of steam or maybe it was just too easy, but the amount of turnovers they had, you had Peter Hart and you had Conor Myler kicked 5 points between them from play. Outstanding scores. Kieran McGeary was working hard and he hadn't had the best league, I suppose, the pressure of being player of the year. He's kind of gone back to basics now and it is just work hard and keep it simple, because he had a couple of shots that probably should have done better with, but he played well and a few more of them are just starting to
take a bit more
and tick the boxes and get back into the groove.
The thing about the game, you know, Mayo, they're so frustrating because they work so hard to get into it and then they just shot themselves in the foot. And, you know, personnel changes and all that, it's a theme with Mayo in terms of, you know, their game management, their ability to get over the line. And
is the personnel thing and changing up another way of getting an excuse saying, oh, we were trying things out, but is it a bit late for trying things out?
Aidan O'Shea,
He played quite well against Kerry. No, I know it wasn't at six. We played quite well, taking away the late free conceded. It's just a hard one. For me, I'd be a big fan of Aidan O'Shea. Mm-hmm. I just don't think the style of football Mayo have suits him. I think in another county, he'd be one of the main men. And he still is because he's a leader. But I just don't think they can find a place to fit him at the moment. Obviously, Dermot O'Connor wasn't playing the last day. For me, he has to be on the 40 because the way he started the league. And I'm not sure what the story is with Killian, because he's missed a lot of football. If they're going to be competing, they need him up front helping out Ryan O'Donoghue, who has been a huge plus this year. He's proved to be a good leader as well.
The thing, and you just go back to the personnel changes, it doesn't matter. Like, the theme remains the same. You know, what's been happening with Mayo, back to the big battles they had against Dublin. And, you know, any time, they're such a team that I respect so much, but, you know, they're so frustrating in terms of how many chances. Like, and it's the same thing throughout the years, and it just reminded me so much. You know, Kevin McLaughlin made so many bad decisions when they got into within, you know, touching distance off Tyrone. Kevin McLaughlin made so many bad decisions, and just, you know, they lost momentum then when they had Tyrone in the wreck. And that seems to be the way Mayo, what they do throughout the years.
Yeah, and I suppose, Dennis, we were talking about it off air about the importance of getting to a league final. It's a national final, it's a big final in Croke Park, the opportunity to win it, and the more games you play in Croke Park, especially big ones, and the more wins you have there and collecting silver, you think that'd be a big thing for Mayo now going into the last league game where they will look to put their best team out there. And for me, like, we talked about it off field, and you mentioned last week about your league medal, they are important medals. I know it's not the championship, but winning's a habit for me. What do you think about Mayo going forward? Surely, be the God, they have to be thinking, get to a final and win it.
Even the small things like going on the bus, the journey, the grub, all these guys maybe haven't experienced that. To get to do that early in the year to prepare yourself for the year ahead in case it crops up again, like Armagh or whatever the case may be, might be coming down for a final. So you can't really replicate that anywhere else or any conditions. So, and again, the league, I always found. Obviously, we took it very, very seriously that we were heading into Leinster Championship, so we knew the quality of our opposition wasn't at the level it was at in the Division 1 for a period of time. And that's not being disrespectful, but that's what we were faced into. So I know Mayo and Galway are their main threat, but after that, maybe they don't have another really tough battle till later on in the year. So you really, like, even as a player also, just the training, I'd much rather be preparing for a match.
100%.
Yeah, than going back in and doing your runs or doing whatever the case you had to do instead of going out and playing a match. So.
And you mentioned there the experience of preparing for that final, the bus journey, staying overnight in Dublin, playing the game. And we mentioned a lot of the players wouldn't have that experience, but in fairness, without making them a dig, a lot of the experienced players don't have a lot of experience of winning. Them game. That's not a dig, it's just a fact.
That's the reality of it.
Yeah. And the more games you play, or big games you play, and you get over the line, that's a habit that brings confidence. And then coming down the stretch the last 5-10 minutes, that's what you draw back on. We were here before, we won here. Yeah. So, like we mentioned, the challenges for them coming up, I suppose, you mentioned Leinster, and there seems to be another team coming hot in Leinster, and Kildare against Monaghan. Monaghan again, good 1 week, bad the next, but Kildare missing Daniel Flynn were outstanding yesterday. Some of the scores were incredible. So from a Dublin point of view, it's probably good for them knowing that they have a proper challenger coming.
Yeah, 100%. And that's not like Dublin won't overlook any other teams that they might meet along the way, but definitely the competition is better. To put 24 scores in any game is fantastic, you know. And again, going through, they look to have confidence, they look to have a bit of belief in themselves, they look to just really be enjoying their football. When you look in, you see them, and they're really having a good go. And you know, will they stay up? That's the thing.
There's five teams that can go down. I suppose from a Monaghan point of view, like, they've avoided the drop and they've been in this position so many times, but they do have the Dubs coming. It's a big ask.
You know, Monaghan are the type of team that, you know, just might pull it out because there's so much about them and they have so much character. But just to go back to Kildare, it's great to see a team, you know, a Kildare team coming back, because for, I'd say, about 10 years, just psychologically, Leinster teams just accepted just to be second best to Dublin. And that the side of the, I don't know, does Dennis agree with this now, but the side of the Dublin jersey, they just lay down. Yeah. And I think that, you know, went right throughout the province and they suffered for it. So it's good to see, and especially the way the personnel Leinster, or Kildare have in charge of them now. And, you know, they have real men that genuinely care about the real Kildare men. That's the point I'm trying to get at. And they want Kildare to do well. And it's just great to see them to push on with that.
Yeah, and like you said, 24 scores is nothing to turn your nose up to. And the forwards, they seem to have a lot more scoring forwards. Obviously, we mentioned Daniel Flynn was missing the last day, but like, Kerwin kicked a couple of scores the last day. Now, he wouldn't have been a name that I was too familiar with. Like, some of the scores they kicked the last day from all over the pitch, all of the forwards were chipping in with him. So, like, for me, it's pleasing. But they looked very athletic, which they always have. Physical. Now they're adding in the bit of football. And I know Galvin's involved there. How much he's doing, I don't know. I'm not even sure if he's there in match days. But they do seem to have a bit about him. Like you mentioned, the backroom team, it's all looking positive for them. And, like, the way I've been very impressed with them during the league, and yet they could still go down because it's so ruthless. So it's going to be an interesting finale in the league. Obviously, Kerry, the only team probably with nothing to play for, but it'd be nice to give Tyrone a bit of pressure as well. So it'll be interesting last week of the Division 1.
Yeah, well, so what you're trying to say is that Donaghy's in Armagh, Galvin's in Kildare, and any positives are just purely down to Kerry, man.
That's coming from your mouth, no, not mine.
Well, I'm paraphrasing you there.
But like that, we mentioned Division 1, how exciting it's been, and it has been very positive. For be fair, even the teams that are struggling, they've learnt a lot from it, and they've a lot going forward, and a lot of teams are coming into form at the right time. Division 2, 3 and 4 are exactly the same. I suppose going into the game the weekend, Derry and Galway, I was expecting maybe a bit more fireworks, and it kind of backfired on Derry going against the wind in the first half. Galway seemed to be motoring well at the moment, and I was a bit unsure going into Division 2, it's a lower standard, but they seem to be going well. They had a big win the weekend without Shane Walsh, so positives there as well for them.
Yeah, you know, Derry, I think, you know, Shane McGuigan losing them to the suspension. He got the yellow card overturned, but then he got suspended by whatever he said to...
That was ridiculous, because the same happened to me against Mayo with Goff actually as well, for supposedly a body check on Killian O'Connor when I was going defending, and it was a black card, but I got suspended for the giving out. The advice, and the only reason I actually gave out was because they ignored me when I asked what it was for.
I
cracked me up the weekend,
and I think that would have took a lot of wind out of their sails. You know, one of their main men, and unfairly suspended, I thought. And you know, I think they needed everybody going down there, because Galway are probably a Division 1 team, and Derry are just maybe not a Division 1 team. They're just on that edge of Division 1, Division 2, and they needed everybody there, and they needed to be going 100%. It just didn't work out for them.
Yeah, like I mentioned earlier, they went against the breeze in the first half. They conceded 3 goals. 2 of them were actually turnovers and a poor kick out. But I was there on my own head going, I thought it was a funny one to go against the breeze. I personally prefer to go with the breeze initially, try and build up a lead, build a bit of confidence, and see the wind can always change.
Yeah, and is that something that kind of looked from the weekend, that the teams who started off with the breeze actually got a foothold early on and went on to win the games? Like, I think it was a common thread throughout a number of the games across the weekend. So, but yeah, if you get a bad start, and then, you know, it was a big hill to climb then in the second half for them. So.
Yeah, and like that, Keane O'Neill's above with Kildare tomorrow, and obviously we'd know him well down in Kerry, and look, he's had a big he was with Kildare and he was with Tipperary down the line. So it'd be interesting to see exactly what his role is with Kildare, because I remember when he came, or with Galway, sorry, but when he was with Kerry, I remember at one stage he was trying to do a bit of work with the forwards, but we were kind of a bit more off the cuff, and he'd be saying, if Gooch moves here, you go there, and if this fella goes here, you go. And I remember just going, I was so confused. I remember looking at Mikey Sheehy, and Mikey was just kind of looking back, and I was like, oh, this is very confusing. But whatever he's doing above, or helping out doing, it seems to be working. They are kicking a lot of big scores.
And they're going for goals.
Yeah. And that's funny you say that, like, because I don't think there'd be anyone need to tell the likes of yourself and the Gooch and these boys how to play the game. You know, obviously play within certain parameters, not everybody way going off doing your own thing, but it's just some coaches just like to control everything, and it's just about getting that balance. And, you know, he seems to have it there in Galway, because Shane Walsh would put him in the same bracket as them Kerry forwards, that you just got to let him do his own thing while still playing within the parameters of how the teams attack.
Yeah, and just going back, when the best advice I ever got going out in the field was from Jack or Eamon, and they always go, just do what you do. Now, I know you need a bit of structure, but more often than
not,
just do what you do, and it's a grand. But no, like, I suppose,
I think that there's definitely room for what suits the team best.
Team,
you know. So if you're looking for a guy to make a run at this position because it opens up X, Y, and Z, and plus you would have really intelligent footballers than some footballers who aren't as intelligent, you know. So they're really good players, but maybe if they did something, tweaked it slightly, it just opens up a whole new different level for the team. So I think there is merits in some form of, obviously a great deal of coaching, but in trying to have these frameworks, and then as an add-on, it's like, go do what you do best, play off the cuff.
Conley was your best example of that, Jeremy.
Do you know, like, and he was a player, you know, when Dublin were struggling in the first few games, I was like, they could actually do with someone like him now at the moment, who would, when they were getting a bit pedestrian, he would have just done something kind of out
and look
of the
it was frustrating at times with Dermo as well, because everyone else is doing a certain thing and then he sums up, but then he pulls it off, so you know, so there's no complaints.
I was always told to skip the ball off. That was my only
keep it safe. But going back to Galway, and I suppose they're preparing for Mayo, who, look, we spent a bit of time on already, and like we said, Galway are the top scorers in Division 2. They're getting a lot of goals. I think it's 13 goals in 6 games. I suppose we were talking about Mayo earlier in the chat about, you know, their lack of scoring power. If Galway can get a couple of goals against Mayo, the question will be asked, can they create enough opportunities to pull it back? And that'll be the worry, despite Galway probably playing lesser opposition throughout the year so far.
It just all depends what Killian O'Connor, where, how far away he is, and because he's going to chip in with, you know, 6-7 points a game, and it just depends where he is. And if Galway bring it, they're going to score goals. You know, that seems to be the way with Mayo. They concede goals, and if Mayo bring the intensity that they can bring, have Galway learned enough in Division 2 to deal with it? And that's really the reality of when them two teams meet. Can Galway deal with the intensity, and is Killian O'Connor going to be available?
Yeah, Killian obviously is going to be a big one for me. He's the most intelligent forward in Gaelic football. I just think he has a great knack of obviously getting the scores, but mixing the dark arts as well. He's well able to do them silly fouls that, oh geez, I didn't mean it, but
gets away with it.
Yeah, how's he going to be up to scratch? Like, he's played very little football now in 2 years,
it's hard going.
We mentioned Ryan O'Donoghue, and he's done really well, but he doesn't have much support up there. They are still very reliant on him.
But I was looking at Dean Rock yesterday. I think you carry a free taker. Not that Dublin are carrying Dean, but looking at how important he is for the team, how accurate he is on the frees, you know, you need a player that you can rely on. Killian O'Connor's that player. You know, if he's maybe not match fit, he's still able to kick the frees. Takes a bit of the heat off O'Donoghue as well. And you put him on the team if he's
twerk. He's a good comparison, actually, Dean Rock with Killian O'Connor, because the both of them, their movement is so good. You'd be looking at, they don't have exceptional pace, but they always seem to have
right
space
place.
And they move at the right times to create space for other players. So like you said, even if he's not 100% fit, he has the experience and the knowledge and the intelligence to get himself through games without being at 100%, which is obviously be a big thing. Like that, the leadership he'd show, it's obviously going to be a huge plus if they can get him back, because I suppose, similar to the Conor Callan argument for Dublin, I'm not hearing how close he is to being back or what exactly the issue is.
Yeah, you know? Well, look, he's not back now. He's not on the bench yesterday, so it's unlikely that he starts the next day either. So you think he's just, yeah, prime for championship then, get himself right. There's no rush to get back, no league final to get back for. You just go, give him plenty of time and come back in.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. I suppose my old rivals, Cork, finally got a win.
A good win, yeah.
Yeah, a good win against Down, who were, look, Down are struggling badly with injuries. And like, it was an argument I listened to on the radio. It was about soccer and it was about Liverpool fans and Everton. If Everton went down, Liverpool would get a bit of crack off it, slagging them, but it's no good for them. And similar for Kerry, you'd give Cork a bit of a ribbing, but it's no good for Kerry football. I don't think it's any good for the GAA seeing Cork go down to Division 3. That's just my opinion, because I think Cork are such a big county, we need them competing. But it was a good win, and they had Sherlock there in the forward too. I think he kicked 1-7 and they were
serious
brilliant scores.
Yeah.
So it was a good performance. I badly needed a win, but I'd see pictures of the attendance. It was fairly sad looking now, in fairness. So it'll be interesting to see how they can kick on a big game against Offaly now in the last game.
Yeah, I think it goes to the wire. That's going to be good momentum. They're positive now after that good performance, going in with their tails up and going put it back to back. And they need that going into the championship. You know, they've got it all ahead of them to do in the summertime, facing into a Kerry who are league finalists now. So, you know, that's going to be tough outlook for them for the months ahead.
I think winning the last two games, I mean, how bad the league is, if you can finish on a bit of a flurry, like we mentioned Dublin earlier, they'll be looking to finish with three wins on the trot. It'll be huge for them. But I suppose on the other hand, you have Down, who are back down now to Division 3, just don't seem to have any luck at all at the moment.
No, I don't think it's much to do with luck. I just think they're in a bad place. I seen them last year, you know, against Donegal, and they were so, so poor. And you know, Down, who had a great tradition, we all talk about tradition and how important it is now, and surely to God, they, like, Down can fire out 15 better players than how they did last year. And they just seem to be in a rut and in a hole again in this year, and you don't have much hope for them in terms of, I think that's another team that has to rebuild. And you see Conor Lafferty doing great work with the under 20s and get that crowd through, and whatever else comes behind them, and they've just got to, you know, rebuild from the ground up again.
Yeah, and obviously sticking with Cork, like we mentioned, they're playing Offaly next, and one of my former teammates is involved with Offaly, Tomás O'Shea. He's obviously living in Cork with a long time, and he was actually tipped for the Cork job at certain stages. So it'd be interesting just to see, like, obviously they won in Ireland and the 20 as well recently, so it's not going to be an easy game for him. And obviously you have the positivity of winning this weekend, and Offaly got a bad beating off Roscommon the weekend. They won't want to finish the league off so on a low point, so it's going to be interesting. And like every division so far, it's just every game there's something to it. There's very few games left that mean nothing.
And even from a player's point of view, now you're looking at jerseys, you're looking at positions, you're looking at panels for championship fellas getting dropped, all that kind of stuff. So this is going out next weekend, is like, it's do or die, no matter who you are, no matter what your team is actually doing. From an individual point of view, it's like, well, this is my jersey, I'm getting a chance and I want it. Or if you're a sub going to come on, it's like, this is probably, we're going to have internal games, we're going to have challenge games, but not actually real life competition. So as a player, definitely you're going to be feeling it's all or nothing no matter what now next weekend, no matter what the score is, no matter what I'm facing into, it's all out.
Yeah, and just, I suppose, coming into the last couple of games, and obviously there are repercussions for relegations. You have the Taltian Cup. It might be, is it getting forgotten about already? Is the emphasis solely on, you don't get to compete for the Sam Maguire, instead of you're actually going down a level, but it's a chance for you to get yourself back up? Because, like, we see it at club level, the grades work. For me personally, obviously it's different when you're playing with a team that are competing for Sam Maguire, but I think it's a no-brainer. Like, and it's already
it's a no-brainer. Like, there's such a sense of entitlement out there. You know, everybody should compete. And you say it's the same in hurling, it's the same in club, it's the same in ladies football. There's grades, so why should senior men's be any different? And, you know, having everybody, and, you know, everybody can compete for Sam Maguire the way it is, but having the Tilton Cup and people dismissing it already, I just think it annoys me, that entitlement. It annoys me the fact that, you know, if you're good enough, you'll play for Sam Maguire.
Yeah, you'll get your chance.
Yeah, and like you often say to a team, you have to go backwards to go forwards. And we mentioned it earlier about a couple of the teams in Division 1 getting to Croke Park and playing for silverware. That's what you want. you want to be competing for silver. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have a lot of teams, to be fair, are competing for semi gold, but they're not. You know, whereas if you go down a grade, you do get a chance to play more games against teams at your own level with the chance of silver. That has to be appealing for teams.
Even if you look at your own, look at my own club or the club players, you know. So you're going out, you don't get a lot, especially if you're not a leading club, you don't get a lot of chance to win something. So if there's a cup competition or you make a playoff at a league, there's a huge buzz around the place because you get an actual chance to win something. So I'd definitely be of the opinion that it's going to benefit players or there's some desire. And I think it's up to, there's an onus on everyone to try and, not build it up or blow up the competition, but to, you know, to go out and support it or to speak well about it, or, you know, just because a team is playing at a lower division doesn't make them any lesser than anybody else. You know, they're playing at the quality that they're able to compete, and we should all like get behind it and make sure it works.
Definitely, there's responsibility in the GAA to really run behind it and, you know, be it a team holiday or make a real good incentive, you know. And as Dennis says, the feeling of winning with your team. Doesn't matter, you're winning, it's a great place to be.
But sure, that's the thing, that we all go back to the clubs, how great it is. I have a novice championship below in Kerry, I have a junior championship. Unfortunately, I haven't managed to get an intermediate championship, but when I was playing in them, they were the be-all, end-all for me and my club, and when we won them, we celebrated them fairly well. Exactly. I think once the GAA get behind it, the media get behind it, it gets the coverage it deserves, it can be brilliant for the GAA. So hopefully now it'll start picking up. Instead of making it such a negative that a team won't be competing for the Sam Maguire, that they can be seen as a positive, that they're going to be competing for silverware, that they have a great chance of winning. And I suppose a team that were unlucky the weekend, and unlucky is probably the wrong word for Manna, they drew the weekend, should have won, had a point chalked off. It still is beyond me. Look, people make mistakes, but I can't understand how this mistake was making. It was a very visible
looks obvious.
Yeah,
from the video, you would think the referee is directly in line with that.
It wasn't even like he was fairly central as well, even where the ball landed after. I couldn't understand it. And I was there going, you have two umpires, you have two linesmen, right? One linesman probably unlucky, won't be able to see it, but you have the referee. Even the goal is reaction, and you're going to have mistakes all over the place, and different decisions go different ways. But this was just, it's criminal for me.
I think it's just the fact that, you know, the referee's just picking up one of the lads, taking him out for the day, and that's the reality of it. It's someone, like, there's, and this is probably taking it a wee bit to the extreme, but he because the thing is so serious now and so much time has gone into it, you know, even umpires need the wee bit of training and, you know, what to watch out for. I'd say he just took the eye off it for a millisecond and he missed it. And then, because if he even read the keeper's reaction, he would have known.
Yeah, but you can forgive it if it's up high over the post part. You can, you know, possibly forgive it.
Even looking at his position, but what this means for Manna, like, it's just, like we said, you put so much into the league now, and we mentioned there is this lure of trying to compete for the Sam Maguire and get up, like, they would have been pushing for promotion as well.
Yeah.
It's just, you're wronged, really, and like you'll always feel a sense of injustice because of it. Like, I was trying to think, have I ever been in that position? I don't think I have. I'm not sure if you have ever club or county game.
No, Dennis definitely wouldn't, because they never played outside Crow Park.
So we always had
the Hawkeye.
No. I was probably on the other side of it. We were playing Kildare in a Leinster final, Leinster semi-final, and towards the end of the game, Kildare were really on top, gave a great game, but we got a dubious free. Bernard Brogan and the Kildare defender were running out to the sideline to get a ball, and we picked up a dubious free and we kicked the score and we won the game. And I think that was the moment where there was a lot of anger and frustration from Kildare. So something that was so soft and something that was so important, that it went our way and we won the game on the back of it. So I think very much what they were feeling is exactly what Fermanagh were feeling there yesterday.
Yeah, it's like that when you get the look of the green, it's great, but I just felt for him now, and look, it's one of them ones that'll go on, and look, it is human error, but it's, look, when things are this serious, it shouldn't be happening. And like, you could nitpick the game, I think people are saying about the steps and stuff, but look, it was just a poor error that shouldn't be happening.
Not
at this
nice
level
to see. Yeah, it's a bit, yeah.
And I suppose just another talking point from the weekend was Waterford lost by a point, but I don't think I've ever seen a GAA team finish with 11 men. I think they had three red cards in one half and a black card. So they haven't been going great. They lose by a point. It was fierce effort put in by them, but to lose four men in a game.
What's the number? When, is there a number that if you hit it, it calls off the game? It's eight, is it?
Is it?
I'm not sure.
I'm nearly sure there is now, but I can't say what number it is now. But, you know, that's just this poor discipline. And that's this silly stuff now to have three men sent off and then a black card. And there's no, whatever level you're playing at or however much training you're doing, there's just no excuse for that.
No. Like, to be fair, it actually happened, discipline actually, Derry against Galway, you've seen the red card for mouthing as well. Like, there's actually no excuse for it. Like, and it is hard to.
I think as a manager, you're looking for, you know, you're looking for aggression off your team. You're looking to stand up. You're looking to back each other up in the field. But at the same time, there's that thin line, and you know it's easy crossing. Definitely, it's easy crossing. But at the same time, if it starts to build up in the team, and you get to three or four cards, and if someone needs to make a call here to. Yeah,
it's like that cliche that goes around the dressing room. It says aggression, but it's controlled aggression.
Yeah,
like,
controlled.
You know, never ever seen controlled aggression.
If you get away with it, it's controlled. If you don't get away with it, it's it's.
But that's the thing. And I suppose another huge talking point is Loud. Another promotion on the cards. The Mickey Hart effect. Two promotions in 2 years. It's fair going, and like what he's probably doing for GA in general down Loud is huge. And obviously, look, I don't think they'll be eyeing a Leinster title this year, but they're going in the right direction to hopefully maybe get competitive.
Yeah, it's 12 years since they were in the last Leinster final, so
unlucky that day.
They were very unlucky that day. So again, referee decision, umpires, you know, they're definitely one of the team.
Like you said, 12 years after being wronged, it is a long time to be carrying that.
Yeah.
Resentment or whatever, like so.
So they're getting a bounce now. They're performing well. They look to be. Yeah, gelling together as a team and know what they're about, you know, and that maybe, that's 2 years under, you know, really top manager. So be interesting to see. Obviously, in some counties, unfortunately, that your league is your best chance of playing football, your best chance of winning, best chance of playing games. And, you know, be interested to see how they carry on into summertime to see how
many games. The important thing for Loud, like as you said, they're not going to be challenging for Leinster or even anywhere near North Ireland, but to keep the momentum going. So this group Mickey's done great work with is whatever comes in behind him and the back set up, and just keep that, you know, success breeds, and whatever way you define success or whoever you see it, success breeds success. And like for Loud to be going up now and, you know, things are going well, there's a big thing to get a group behind them to keep the conveyor belt going. And that's what Cork need to do. Cork need to get momentum, you know, battle it out for a few years and, you know, stabilise and start rebuilding. Down need to do the same, and you know, Lough, they're heading in the right direction, whether you could argue the other two teams aren't.
To be fair, Edgett and Cork are trying to do that. They've had a big upheaval in players. I think it was Pat Spillane mentioned it on the league Sunday last night. They had 15 debutants so far in the league. They've a lot of injuries, so, and we did mention sometimes you have to go backwards, go forwards, or whatever, like so. Like that, you need this, and sometimes you just need to wipe the slate clean, start afresh with fellas who maybe don't have the, I suppose, the baggage from previous setbacks or whatever. Like, and I suppose a team that I've been following very closely in the league has been London. I suppose I represented London way back when, but they lost to Cavan the weekend by a point. Cavan promoted now, which is good, because like it was only a couple of years ago they were above in Division 1. I remember my first year retired, I travelled up to Cavan to watch Kerry play them, and Kerry pulled away in the last 5-10 minutes. But they were the type of Division 1 team that just needed to survive one season, Division 1, before they'd start to push on. And they just couldn't survive. And they were losing games in the last 5-10 minutes. And they won another title. And similar to Tipperary, Free fell down into Division 4. But they snuck a win against London, which I was disappointed with, because I was there going, I'd love to have seen London get promoted. But for Cavan now promoted, maybe going into Ulster with a bit of a pep in their step.
Yeah, and I think Cavan, for, you know, whoever they meet in the Ulster Championship, will be sticky proposition. Even though they've played in Division 4, they'll still, you wouldn't take them lightly, that's what I'd be saying. They've, you know, we talked about momentum and taking groups through. They'd have great work at underage, but they've never seemed to be able to kick on. And, you know, you can argue that they beat Donegal in the Ulster final two years when the lockdown championship, and you know, I don't know what happened. Nobody knows what happened in terms of Tipperary one Munster that year, and Cavan won Ulster, and I just don't know how you would quantify what Cavan are about or what's going on and why they haven't been able to kick on, because they do tick a lot of boxes in terms of tradition, identity, and you know, that underage, they do good work at underage, but it just doesn't seem to work out for them now.
Yeah, it's a hard one to actually to explain. I suppose sometimes players just kind of fall off. You get that success at underage, and
stay together as a group, to things. The
commitment
the
level
time.
I think by, do you know, when you put so much in at an underage level, sometimes you like to blow off a bit of steam, and I think young lads forget, once you stop blowing off that bit of steam, you're not that young anymore, and it's harder to get fit again and up to that level of inter-county football, I suppose. But like, sticking to Division 4, we have a couple of big games coming up now as well, Tipperary and London, and then you have the local Connacht Derby there, you have Leitrim against Sligo. Unfortunately at the moment they're not at the same time, so hopefully the GAA will do the right thing and put them together, because otherwise I think if Tipperary win Saturday night, they're promoted, and it kind of takes the emphasis off the other game. But before we go on to that, I'm only getting it in my ear how Eamon McGee togged out for London back in 2010.
Yeah, back in the day now, and made the adventure to London for, I think it was 6 months, and hooked up with the London lads. And I have the honour, Kilkenny, actually the football team at the time, played 3 league games for him, and I scored 3 points from midfield. Now I was
man of the match,
lording it.
And you somehow managed to keep that quiet last week when we were talking about all these full back players going up the field kicking scores, and you kept that very
well.
It's
Division 4 against Kilkenny footballers now, so.
You didn't have to go into detail.
No, I should have just scored 3 points from midfield. Yeah.
So before we finish, lads, we're going to rocket back up to Division 1. A lot at stake the last couple of games. We're going to start with Dublin Monaghan. Personally, I can't see Dublin's momentum being stopped in this game.
I think Dublin get the win and stay up, stay safe. And unfortunately then Monaghan get relegated.
Yeah, I'm the same. I just see there's too much going towards Dublin. I think they've progressed so much from that first game against Armagh. They were nearly unrecognisable. You know, they weren't slick. They made so many bad decisions, and you know, you see that Dublin of old now coming. Maybe they're not at the level. I don't think they'll ever be at that level again, but they're going the right direction. And unfortunately for Monaghan, who, you know, really pride themselves in that Division 1 status, and, you know, they fought very hard for it throughout the years, I think, you know, they're going to lose out.
Yeah, I think I'm going to leave that to you, really getting poor on Monaghan. But who goes on with him? Because there's another 4 teams that could go down.
Yeah, I think unfortunately it could be Kildare after a fantastic league, played a lot of the games in really poor conditions, bad weather, narrowly defeated, great win obviously against Dublin, but I think they come out the losing end this weekend. So
yeah, I'm hoping, because you know Donegal have to play our man in Letterkenny, you know, I mentioned that earlier, and they haven't got a result. They beat Kerry in 2007. And haven't won a game since. And you know, there's actually a debate in Donegal to get all the games out of Donald Park and Letterkenny. So I don't see us getting a result, and I think Armagh will, you know, take your advice and really go for it, and you'll get that, try and get that league final. And you know, Donegal will be hoping for results to go elsewhere. And you'd think that Kildare lose out. I'm hoping Kildare lose out, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's actually a great sign of the league that, unless you're extremely consistent, you will get relegated, and that's the way it's worked out. That you have 5 teams now that could get relegated, who at times have been exceptional. Like we've raved about Kildare and how good they have been in different games, and the weekend kicking 24 points, but could still find themselves relegated due to a bit of inconsistency. And I suppose Kerry are in the final. Mayo will be looking to beat Kildare, and like you mentioned there, you would fancy Armagh maybe to beat Donegal. Who's getting there?
I'll go with Armagh. I think the way the permutations work out, that if Armagh, you know, do well enough, that they can get to the league final now. So I'll go with Armagh.
I'll double that. Yeah, I think apart from wanting to see in a minute, I think from the get go, from the first game in Croke Park, I think they're the most enjoyable to watch. They're really bringing a really good standard and eye-catching football. And I think they'll make it into the final, and it'd be great to see them up against the favourites for the All Ireland in the final.
Stop doing that now. Stop building up Kerry.
The dead cert for the All Ireland.
No, I think it'd be interesting like that. I think either way for Kerry, I actually think I'd prefer to see them play Mayo. From a progression side of it, I just think Mayo always bring that manic intensity to a game, which I think will stand to Kerry, because they bring this raw aggression and unpredictability. Because I think when Mayo are at their best, they are that unpredictable. They just go off the cuff, it's kamikaze,
chaotic. And I'd say that's why Dublin kind of struggled with them over, not in terms, they always beat them, but they've always troubled Dublin, and it was just that chaotic madness that they brought.
And I think Kerry would struggle with it as well. I think it'd be a great test for them going forward into championship, having a good test in Croke Park as well. So my only fear for Kerry is they're becoming a bit like Cork were back 10 or 15 years ago, where they're winning league after league and were falling short in the championship. So that's a big fear for me. But look, all in all, I think it's been a brilliant league. We're looking forward to another cracking round of league games in all the four divisions, and then it's roll on championship like 2-3 weeks later. It's absolutely unbelievable, because personally I used to hate the gap between league and championship. Anything that involved long running, I hated it.
Yeah, we got a small bit of a break for a club championship. You get away for 2 weeks, and it was like the best thing ever. It was like going on holidays for 2 weeks during the middle of the year. But
we would always stay training. Be knackered playing club championship.
Yeah, I think we were the same. We would play around the championship, and then, you know, it was just dogged for them a few weeks, and it was so horrible. You'd be just dreading going to training, and I think I would enjoy this wee break where you can just look forward to football.
Yeah, I don't know what all the complaining is about retirement. It's great. But just one last question. Is there anybody throughout the leagues, one player that stood up, really made a big impact that you think could kick it on during the championship?
Michael Murphy at full forward.
Another full forward, Rian O'Neill.
Rian O'Neill, I think he was the big one, and he stood out from day one, and you know, really put himself on the shop window. And Richard played against him in an Ulster club semi final against Cross McGlennon, and I kind of had him earmarked since that, because he was so good in what he was kicked, the way he was kicking points, and I would have marked him as the best up and coming young player in the province at the time, and he seems to have kicked on now, and he's the best up and coming player now in the country.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn between two players. Ryan O'Donoghue, because I think his leadership has been brilliant in the absence of Killian O'Connor, and another player who isn't young, but he could be the turning thing for Kerry, which is Tadhg Morley, and somebody who surprised me. I thought he might struggle this year because he's had a few injuries, didn't have much luck the last couple of years, went in at centre back, and just show us that sometimes just game intelligence and leadership can steady
that,
a
in
ship.
That position, yeah, it's a crucial position on the team, and if you got someone, yeah, we had Keane O'Sullivan for that.
Keane was the best
years
in the game at it.
You know, so yeah, it'd be interesting now if people are targeting that in the summer as well. You pull a male position and, you know, get a male that hole. That's another thing you could do. So be interested to see how he copes with that.
Yeah, so that's all we've time for in today's show. A big thank you to my two guests, Eamon and Dennis.
Thank you.
And we'll see you all next week for another action-packed show.
You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
The final whistle is all over. Jim Gavin, Jason Sherlock embrace. Dublin are the history makers.
Today, Sean Kavanagh, who is a brilliant footballer. But I tell you what, you can forget about Sean Kavanagh as far as he's a man.
O'Sullivan, oh, that was absolutely brilliant. What about that for skill from Darren O'Sullivan?
Kieran McCall, it's high, it's over! Will he ever get a more vital one than that?
I know Joe done a personal assassination of him this morning.
It was not an assassination of him.
We have to look at the context.
The transition talk, I think Joe Bradley told us the production line was finished in Kerry. Well, Joe Bradley, what do you think it acts?